the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese, and he cannot get soccer off the TV fast enough. Apparently. GM Floyd Reese, we are live at Bridgestone Arena. The Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Did you find a car show you like?
Got a little gymnastics.
Oh, you always love when they bring the little old cars out there.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Okay, so John Robinson was asked this question yesterday. I think it's a fair question to ask him, and so we'll play his answer, and then we'll talk about it ourselves as to what we believe in terms of how far away the Titans are competing for a championship. And by the way, I think it's fair to say that 35-14 right now is technically how far away you are competing for a championship. Because that's the kind of team you're going to have to beat if you want to win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
So this was John Robinson yesterday. He was asked the question, how far away are the Titans from competing for a championship?
I think we've got a really good football team. I think we've got a good roster. We've got a good makeup of players. I think the personalities in that locker room are very good. I think they really love each other and they play hard for each other. I think they're tough and resilient. And I think, you know, not to put a timetable on it, but I think that the pieces are in place for us to move forward.
So he didn't really give you an answer.
No, that was good. Well done, John.
But we can cut through the PC press conference garbage, and we can tell you how far away we think the Titans are from a championship. Floyd Reese, how far away from competing for a championship are the Titans?
Well, are you talking about years?
No, I'm just talking about, you know, what all needs to happen in order for them to be able to compete.
They got a little bit to go. They got a ways to go.
This is what I wrote down on my notes thinking about this. Number one, they need to get older. You know, they got a 24-year-old quarterback. Who are the quarterbacks? How old are the quarterbacks that are competing for Super Bowls right now, generally speaking? They're 36 and 35 and 32 and, you know, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Like, those are the guys that compete for Super Bowls. So they need to get older. Like, Jackson needs to get older. Byard probably needs to get a little bit older. Like, they need a couple of years of seasoning with some of these picks, and they need to get older. The other thing, they need to get nastier on defense. I mean, they really need to. The Titans' defense is good because I think they're well coached, and they've got one really good corner in Adoree Jackson and one really smart corner in Logan Ryan, but they're not nasty. You know, like, they don't get after the quarterback, and they don't, you know. And I always feel like if you want to be successful in the NFL, unless you've got an incredible up-and-down-the-field offense, you got to have some nastiness on defense. I mean, they really do need a pass rusher, a legitimate, bona fide, Javon Kurse-type pass rusher. And maybe they need two of those guys. But I think that they need a lot of pieces to fill on defense before we're comfortable with that being a championship-caliber defense.
I mean, I would they need a lot of stuff. I mean, I think just from a personnel standpoint, I mean, they've got to adjust the offensive line. I mean, the middle part of the offensive line became a concern. The running back situation is going to be a concern.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a reliable couple of tight ends. And the receiving group is a mess.
And that's before we even get to defense.
Yes. Now, the quarterback is, you know, any way you want to cut it, the quarterback has gone backwards. On defense, I mean, to compete, to play, you know, Super Bowl winning defense, I mean, you know, we got Casey. By the time the rest of the people come around, the two defensive end / outside linebackers are going to probably be close to retirement, so you're going to need both of those. You're going to need at least one, if not two, inside backers. You're going to need at least one safety, at least one, depending on what kind of scheme you're going to run. And you're going to need another couple corners that you can rely on, or these corners could mature into that.
See, I think corner, they might be okay, because I really do like Sims. you know, as a third corner.
Yeah, I mean, those guys might be able to mature into it.
I mean, I put on my list, if and when the Titans are ready to compete for a Super Bowl, these are the guys who I think will be on the team when that happens. I put Marcus Mariota, Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, Adoree Jackson, Logan Ryan, and Kevin Byard. Those are the guys that I feel confident right when this team matures to the point where they're ready to compete for a title, those guys will still be here. Then I got the guys who I put in the, you know, like Delanie Walker, for example. If you were good enough to compete for a title, Delanie would be a good part to be able to compete for a title right now. But when you get to the point that you're competing for a title, Delanie's probably not going to be Delanie Walker anymore.
Right.
So Delanie, to me, is off the list. Arakpo and Morgan, off the list. They're just not going to be, like you said, they're going to be nearing retirement by the 2 or 3 years that you're ready to compete for a title. Woodyard, I think, is going to be off the, you know, Woodyard's going to be on the other side of it. So you've got some core players to start with, but you have no depth beyond that. You have a bunch of question marks on your young players, your Davises, Taylors, Jonnu Smith, Derrick Henry, you know, and not all those guys are going to work out. I mean, I think the Titans are, you know, honestly, they're a couple free agent classes and a couple drafts away from maybe having a shot to compete for a title.
Yeah, I mean, they're a ways away. I think if you look at, let's just take the teams that are competing this weekend.
Let's start with Jacksonville, because Jacksonville's the champions. Been crummy for a while.
There you go, Jacksonville. What do they have? They've got all-pro or Pro Bowl caliber defensive ends that can rush. They've got a Pro Bowl or all-pro caliber defensive tackle in Campbell. They've got at least one Pro Bowl caliber linebacker.
Which in, one? Telvin Smith?
No, I was thinking of the other kid, the Miles UCLA Jack. Kid. Yeah, Miles Jack. And they've got three Pro Bowl caliber secondary players. You go over on the offense, and they've got a fourth round draft choice and a free agent, I think you said, receiver that are better than everybody we got.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rookies.
And that's not even to say what they'll have coming back with Allen Robinson,
and they've got
who's a legit number one.
Two guys coming back that are guys that have been banged up or hurt or whatever. We got none of those. And they've got as good a young running back as there is in the league. You know, now the offensive line, you know, could they use some help? Yeah, but they did lead the league in rushing. So.
And the real problem with Jacksonville is the quarterback. And honestly, I think for what their needs are, I mean, if Alex Smith is the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think they have a legitimate shot to go to New England and win this week.
Yeah.
If Kirk Cousins is the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jags, if Eli Manning, because that's the big fear that I have, is that Eli will be the quarterback of the Jags next year because of the Coughlin connection, and I worry about that.
Well,
they got a shot.
You look at, look at Minnesota. Here, they lost their starting running back. They've got a backup plan, and they lost their starting quarterback. It's two starting quarterbacks. They've got the third playing. They've got two rookie receivers. They're close to rookie receivers. I think Thielman or whatever his name is a two-year guy, right?
I think Thielen's in like his fourth year.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was like a low draft pick or something like that.
Free agent. Yeah, he was a free agent out of – in fact, he couldn't even go to the real combine. He had to go to a regional combine.
Yeah, like Byard.
And so he ends up as, you know, Pro Bowl caliber receiver. Well, and then the kid comes in from the kid that caught the touchdown pass, same thing, rookie fifth rounder or whatever he was, comes in to play of the year for them. You know, so you say, and then, you know, the backup running back that they had is playing good, you know. I mean, he's not setting records, but he's really playing good. Third quarterback, really playing good. And then you've got that defense. Defense got a whole slew of, you know, Pro Bowl caliber guys.
Some of us believed in how good that defense was 2 years ago.
We don't have anybody like that. We don't have anybody that fits any of that. You know, and that's just two teams we went through.
And then the other thing, too, is the other teams that are competing, before we get to the Eagles, but, like, if you look at some of the teams like New Orleans is there because of their quarterback. But you don't have New Orleans quarterback,
and they went out this year and drafted, you know, maybe the best draft class ever. You know, they're going to have the rookie of the year on offense and the rookie of the year defense in the same draft class.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's phenomenal. And so, you know, you go through and you look at those guys, and they've got a rookie defensive lineman. They've got rookie corners. They've got, I mean, all kinds of youth throughout that team that plays. I mean, our rookies can't get on the field, you know. And you'd say, well, why is that? I mean, the rookie on defense got on the field. He played okay. But what about these other? We got three rookie offensive players right here, and they can't play. What did we draft bad? You know, what? I mean, how is these other people can get those people on the field?
And I think it's John that thinks that those players are good enough, but that they weren't coached well enough, and that's why John wanted the coaching staff to be changed.
I mean, I'm sure that's at least part of the concern.
But to go back to it, I mean, they need, what, two offensive linemen, probably two guards, at least one guard and maybe a center. I mean, two offensive linemen.
Yes. You're talking about us now.
Yes. At least one or two running backs. At least one or two tight ends. Fix the wide receivers. And hope that the quarterback pans out.
Oh, yeah.
See, I thought this was going to be a fun exercise. I didn't think this was going to be a painful exercise.
Well, I mean, that's you know, kind of where you are. And again, I'm not – and this is the disturbing part. Here, Marcus is drafted second in his third year, and you look at these guys that are playing Bortles. Did Bortles get better this year?
No.
Well, I mean, he did something better. I mean, we, you know, you look at the year, you compare what he did on his team to what Marcus did on our team.
Yeah, but he sucks. I mean, his
completely
defense
different.
Changed what he had to do. Bortles.
I agree.
Bortles sucks. Like, that, I don't.
Well, yeah, but here's the question. Bortles sucked until this year. Bortles didn't suck this year. Why didn't he suck? Because they played great defense and they ran the ball.
Oh, see, I think he sucks.
Marcus played great last year when we did what?
Ran the ball.
Played defense.
This defense this year was better than last year.
What didn't we do this year?
We run the ball.
Didn't run the ball. And where was the quarterback? You know? Mm-hmm. So now, where does he fit? Who is he? Is he the guy that carries it, or is he Bortles?
Well, what happened to the Dallas Cowboys when Ezekiel Elliott?
There you go. Exactly the same. And I kept saying, people are getting crazy about him, and yet we don't know. We just don't know.
So this is what we have on the list. Two pass rushers, two inside linebackers, one safety, two offensive linemen, two running backs, a reliable tight end, fix the wide receiving core, and hope that the quarterback pans out. Would you like fries with that?
Well, the whole exercise being that I think we're a little bit farther away than – I mean, we talk about it all the time, 8-18. We're closer to an 8-8 team than we are to a 12-14. That's
for competing
sure.
with the Patriots.
Yes.
I mean
– without a doubt.
I mean, I think last week was a good representation of how far away you are. And then I think this week for Jacksonville will be a good representation because I think Jacksonville's going to lose. I don't think Jacksonville's going to lose pretty handedly. Like, I'm thinking 26-6. And that's how far away you are from competing for a title. So,
well,
I mean,
and then you look at last, you know, what's coming up next year. We talked about this in the division. You got Jacksonville, wherever they end up,
and with whatever quarterback they get.
Yeah, you look at Houston, where, you know, with Watson back, and you look at Luck playing again. Well, now where are you? And all of a sudden, the progress you've made over the first year or two. You're going, well, where'd all that go? Where's that progress?
So the GM has just adequately depressed, I think, everybody out in Titan Land with how far away this team is from competing for the playoff or for competing for a championship. But then the question has to be asked, if they're that far away, what is the hope that a new coach can do to fix some of this? We'll get to that next, plus your calls on the Titan, 615-737-1025 is the phone number, and we'll get to the calls that are waiting as well. 615-737-1025, live from Bridgestone Arena. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Well, I think our players could stylistically, you know, play in a lot of offenses. I think that, you know, receivers, it's get open and catch. Runners, it's make yards when they hand it to you. I think we've got a solid roster on both offense and defense and in the kicking game.
That was Titans general manager John Robinson. Now, we just went over how far away the Titans are from competing for a Super Bowl. Interesting thought about the Jags, right, before I get back to the Titans roster. The Jacksonville Jaguars have three Pro Bowl or all-pro caliber defensive linemen that have been there and done that, Calais Campbell, Marcel Darius, and Malik Jackson. And Yannick Ngakoue might be one of the best unknown players in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's number two on the team in sacks.
I mean, I love Yannick. Every game I watch, Yannick Ngakoue, I think I've watched four whole Jags games this year. I mean, that's right. The two Titans games, they played Cleveland, and then I watched the whole Arizona game, and then this one. Yannick Ngakoue has scored a touchdown in three of those games.
Wow.
Like, you know, Yannick Ngakoue is really, really good. So I then think, like, to all the other just complimentary players the Jags have, Posluszny. And, like, those are kind of the guys that, like, a Posluszny would be a core guy on your team. He's a complimentary guy on their team.
Right.
Back to the Titans and the list of needs to compete for a title. Offensive line, running back, reliable tight ends, wide receivers. And going back to why they fired the coach. I mean, I think John looks at those receivers that we're kind of down on, like Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor. I think John thinks that if they get the right coach in here, those guys can be as good as Keelan Cole is in Jacksonville, or as good as maybe not as good as Hopkins and Fuller in Houston, but at least productive.
Well, which I wouldn't disagree with at all. I mean, I think that's what you're hoping for. You when you do something like he's doing, you're saying, okay, I know I'm going to have to do something with the guards. Whatever, you know, at least one. But I think those guys are going to be – the receivers, all the receivers you need may be there. You may have the entire group. I mean, somebody's going to have to go in there and coach the heck out of them, but that's what they're being paid to do. Jonnu Smith, is he going to, you know, somebody goes in there and coaches the heck of them. Maybe he's the backup. Maybe he fits in. The running backs, if you go in there with the same – conceptually the same offense, then those running backs will be fine. You know, you just worry about who's coming in there and what he's going to want with the running backs.
Well, like from the running back standpoint, we talked about New England doesn't have a guy like Derrick Henry per se,
right,
size-wise. But they did because they used to have Blunt. So theoretically, right, if McDaniels comes in and wants to run what they do in New England, you then have to go find a couple of new running backs to kind of be your pass-catching running backs, your Kevin Faulks, your James Whites, your Deion Lewis's. But then Henry can play the role of LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, right.
So you can use him in that way.
As long as he, sure. If whoever's coming in understands that and sees it and is equipped to do it, absolutely no problem. Now, and that may, the little Cal kid may have a chance, you know, in that scheme.
Cal Thani Muhammad.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or, I mean, maybe, you know, Taywan Taylor has a role as a slot guy and as the Welker, the Amendola type. Although, don't the Welkers and the Amendolas and the Edelmans and the guys that play that slot, like you talked about how D-Mace would have been a perfect fit for that position in New England. Right. Don't they kind of have to have like some football savvy to them to play that type of spot?
Yeah. I mean, they do. And I don't know this, I would have to go back and look. I'm just guessing from the way he plays. He kind of played that way in college. He was kind of one of those really instinctive, just get open, you know, go out there. If the defender's on the right, you go left. If the defender's on top, you stop. If the defender's behind you, outrun them. And in a slot position in an offense, you can maybe get away with that.
He played the same role in college that Eli Rogers played, the guy for the Steelers, that Eli Rogers played in the same offense when he was in college. And Taywan Taylor is more talented than Eli Rogers. Now, Eli Rogers catches a lot of passes.
I just started to say he caught about six or seven balls this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I covered Eli Rogers when he played in college at Louisville. Eli and I were at school together at Louisville, too. And the fact that he's a legitimate, bona fide NFL wide receiver blows my mind because I never saw that when he was in college.
Oh, and I think he's a fourth, but still, he's productive.
He's productive because he's doing the right things at that spot. And if Taylor, who's probably got more talent than him, does the right spot things at those spots with maybe a better offensive coach, then at least you have a shot. Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. Lance is up next on the Titans. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead, Lance.
I think offensive line, and defensive line. You fix those two lines where those running backs can run, Mariota can throw the ball. You put those defensive lines where those cornerbacks that are average turn into better than average when that quarterback is running for his life because we have a defensive line that can pressure him. We'll fix a lot of woes with the Titans. It might not get them to the Super Bowl, but it'll get them on the way.
Thank you for the call, Lance.
Can't argue with any of that.
I mean, the question is, how do you get those defensive linemen? You know,
And what you have to do is just what Jacksonville did.
Pay them.
Yep. Defensive linemen are going to be expensive, but you've got to go out there and you've got to get the right guy because of the locker room. You're really worried about the locker room, and you're going to have to pay him. And then you're going to have to turn around and go out in the draft, and you're going to have to draft one or two of them. I mean, and hope they come in. But you know, anything short of that, you're talking about a, you know, 3-4 year project.
Well, what kills me, though, is, like, it's hard to say what you want because you don't know who the coach is going to be, so you don't even know the scheme on defense
right. That
the next coach is going to want to play. And I think, honestly, like, call me crazy, I think the Titans are better suited to run a 4-3 than a 3-4 with the people they have on defense. Because I can see a defensive line of Arakpo, Casey, Daquan Jones, Morgan. I can see that. And I see Dodd, who right now is a complete and total bust. But I can see Dodd fitting in better in a 4-3 than a 3-4. The linebackers, you take one of your inside backers as your middle linebacker. Jayon Brown's one of your outside linebackers. Then you need another outside linebacker, which you can get in free agency. And, you know, your secondary is your secondary. I think the Titans might be better suited to go to a 4-3 with the personnel they have right now than the 3-4. But, again, I don't know. You know better than I would.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that. And I'm not sure. I mean, nothing wrong with what they were doing with them. But I struggle when I see a 280-pound guy in coverage. I struggle with that, you know, because I feel like not only are you helping the offense because you're not rushing the quarterback, but you're also helping the offense in that he can't cover anybody. And so, you know, if they throw the ball out there, now you've got the entire defense trying to rally and tackle the guy with the ball.
They went to San Diego last year, and they had Kevin Dodd on Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Phillip Rivers is a smart enough quarterback that the second he sees that, that's where the ball's going.
And if you're doing that stuff against a rookie quarterback, maybe you have a chance. Maybe you fooled a rookie quarterback. We saw Marcus get fooled on one this year with a defensive tackle or whatever he was, drops out and right in the path. But with an experienced quarterback, I'm not sure you fool them a lot.
The Titans have – the other thing, too, some of the guys that the Titans have drafted have got to start playing better. Corey Davis, Taywan Taylor, Daquan Jones, Kevin Dodd, Austin Johnson. I mean, and now Daquan Jones, I think, had a pretty good season, but I think he's actually a free agent. But, like, some of these guys, I mean, you can't keep drafting guys that don't produce. And they went through an entire draft class in 2015 where they have one guy left on the roster from that class, and it's Mariota. And
wow.
So, you know, your 2016 class,
wow.
Conklin has produced. You know, I mean, like, I think you've got to give credit there. But then Dodd hasn't produced. Johnson hasn't produced to the level he should.
No, but he's playing better. He is improving.
Right. So is Henry. But Henry yeah. hasn't produced to the level he should. And then, of course, Byard, I think, has produced really, really well. But you just need to get those second-round picks. They got to start playing better. We'll take more of your calls in on this. The more that we talk about this, the more I think the Titans are even further away than I thought. And that you've got to really hope they go out and get a good coach.
Yeah, but I think the receiving group is a great example to me. If you take the receiving group and you throw in Tajay Sharp and you throw in, isn't there at least one other receiver in the practice squad? Seems like, or IR?
Yes. Yes, they just signed, and I think they just signed him to a
okay.
futures contract.
Whoever that is. I don't even know who that is. But you get that whole group out there and somebody that, I mean, coaches them to death. I mean, it's got to be, you know, you got to be after him every second because for whatever reason, this is going on the fourth year where we've been talking about this same problem.
Mm-hmm. And at first it was easy just to say, oh, it's Justin Hunter and DGB
yeah.
and Kendall
yeah.
Wright. And
then they all left and you thought, oh, okay, now we're in good shape. Well, now we're finding out maybe it wasn't just, you know, just those guys.
Although nobody wants DGB, and Hunter is inactive for the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm not, so I mean, I'm not taking up for him.
But to your point, I mean, your wide receiving core right now, if you look at the talent, is Matthews, Sharp, Davis, Taylor, and Darius Jennings, because I think Decker and Douglas are both free agents. And Douglas, no offense, see ya. Decker, I mean, I don't care either way if Decker comes back.
Yeah.
So you've got Matthews, Sharp, Davis, Taylor, and Darius Jennings. And I think they're – honestly, I think they're going to part ways with Matthews. I would not be surprised if Rashard Matthews doesn't come back.
Right.
So
– well, those are – and you're going to have to – you know, you'll draft another one or two, and you'll sign one in free agency and you know, go to war. Bring in some free agents and look at – but my point is that group that we have gotten, you know – every year we've been here, we've gotten less and less and less.
You got to coach
from our receiving group. Got less. This year was the absolute worst, and somebody is going to have to take that whole group under their wing.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We're right back to the calls coming up next. And also, this Josh McDaniels to the Colts, it seems like a sure thing. I'm still not sold on it. I want to get into that coming up next as well, but back to your phones. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. It is a hockey night in Smashville, and the snow is not keeping anybody away, especially from the honky-tonk hat trick where our guy Braden Gall is hanging out at Tootsie's.
Josh McDaniels, a name we continue to hear a lot about. His team, the New England Patriots, still playing, Lewis, so nothing will happen until then. But could you see Josh McDaniels as a fit with a young quarterback like there is in Tennessee?
Sure, you definitely could, and you see that philosophically there would be some alignment between him and John Robinson. I'm sure it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you can start connecting those kinds of dots and seeing that there may be some, you know, mutual interest right there, and that it would probably be a good working relationship, all things being considered, and that a head coach candidate like Josh would be interested in a very good, talented young quarterback that seems to be right now hitting a ceiling, so to speak, in Marcus Mariota. So yeah, this is one of those situations where, you know, you start to see certain things starting to line up, and I'm sure that John Robinson had his ideas about what he wanted in a head coach in the first place.
Right.
Because remember, Mike Mularkey wasn't his guy.
That was Lewis Riddick, ESPN analyst yesterday, and then the talk for McDaniels kind of died down because it looks like he's going to the Colts, and even the presumptive defensive coordinator, his wife put up a picture of a Colts logo on Facebook, so now people are thinking that is the sign that he is for sure going to the Colts. And I was watching Peter Schrager on Colin Cowherd this morning, and Peter Schrager was asked about what's the best job out there, and Peter Schrager said, oh, it's the Colts job. Every guy I've talked to says it's the Colts job. The Colts job with Andrew Luck is the best job. How is the Colts job the best job? We just went over all the things the Titans are missing in order to be a Super Bowl contender. Well, you can multiply that by like six with the Colts. And their young quarterback may never play again. Like, we don't know.
That's the biggest question is Luck. I mean, will Luck ever play again? They keep saying, now we're getting back around to where we start talking about selling season tickets. Now the owner's back out with, oh, he'll be the best he's ever. He'll 100% sure he'll be back. That's what he said last year at this time. You know, so I don't know.
But if you're a presumptive coaching candidate, I mean, you got to be really worried about that.
Oh, absolutely.
About whether or not, you know, Andrew Luck's coming back, and so like everyone says, oh no, it's a done deal. He and Chris Ballard have the same agent. Or Peter Schrager said on Colin Cowherd this morning, he was like, Chris Ballard is one of the most respected personnel men in the NFL. Really? So he's more respected than Bill Belichick? Like, we just sling that around? Like, I don't follow that whole – I don't see how you can for sure say the Colts are a better job than the Titans when the Titans have a quarterback who is going to play next year for sure, and they don't have the kooky owner that the Colts have who's always got his hand in the cookie jar, and – I just don't see how you can think the Colts are a better job than the Titans.
And the rest of the team, other than the quarterback, could, you know, you could Stinks. Easily argue is better than Indy's. You know, the Titans are better than Indy.
If you were Josh, I mean, to me it just seems like the Josh going to the Colts, for sure, Josh is going to the Colts 100%, sounds like a total leverage play to me.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it certainly could be. You know, the I mean, I don't know, you hear or you read that he and the GM are supposed to be pretty good friends. And they very well could be. I don't know where they would be friends from, though. I'm trying to think back on this.
Well, all I've heard is that they have the same agent. So if they have the same agent, it must be a done deal. But if they have the same agent, again, the agent works for the coach. The coach doesn't work for the agent. So even if it makes it easier for Josh's agent to have Josh be the coach, that doesn't, like, if you're Chris Ballard and you don't think Josh is the best coach out there, even if your agent wants you to hire him, you don't do it because, again, the agent works for you, not the other way around.
And it gets really, really hard when it's time to go the other way. You know, now you've got to let him go.
Oh, yeah.
Then it gets really hard.
Yeah, like the Rams last year. The CEO of the Rams, his dad was Jeff Fisher's agent.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. You know, like, that's what you do not want. Back to the phones we go because we promised on this snow day. 615-737-1025. Steven is up next here on the Titans. Thank you for calling. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I wanted to go back a couple of years and get the GM's opinion since he's been in the war room. It seems like it's tough to come up with a playmaker like Ramsey. And we had the chance to get him and didn't. And I wonder what the GM would do in that situation.
You're talking about the corner from Jacksonville.
Yes, the corner that was, from here, from Brentwood Academy.
Yeah, I mean, he really has turned into a player. I mean, he's a big-time player. And he'll be one of those guys that will be a big-time player for, you know, God willing, everything stays together. I mean, for a ton of years. He'll be a 10, 12-year kind of guy.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about this because, in my mind, you traded essentially either Joey Bosa in a second-round pick or you traded Jalen Ramsey in a second-round pick in order to get Jack Conklin, Corey Davis, Austin Johnson, Derrick Henry, and Jonnu Smith. So that's what you got for Bosa or for Ramsey and a second-round pick because you had to trade the second round to Cleveland to go back up to eighth to get Conklin. I'm kind of torn by this because I feel like if you draft Joey Bosa, like I think Bosa, I'd rather have Bosa than Ramsey because I think Bosa, now they're both great players, but I just think Bosa is a game wrecker. And if Bosa was on a good team with a good coach where people watched him play, they would be like, oh, my God, that guy's incredible. So, to me, I think it would be – I'd rather have Bosa in the second-round pick in this year's draft than all those guys combined. Conklin, Davis, Johnson, Henry, Jonnu Smith.
I mean, I would agree with you at this point in time, but when we made it, remember who was on our team.
It's true.
We were trying to fill a bunch of holes. I mean, we didn't have a right tackle. We didn't have, you know, a backup tight end. We didn't have a bunch of those guys that ended up coming in and finding a spot. Not that they played great. I'm not saying that, but at least they filled spots.
Well, the one that really chaps my behind in all this is Davis.
Yeah.
Because what if there comes out to be one of these guys that was picked after Davis in this year's draft turns out to just be a freaking stud and Davis never materializes? That's where it will really bite you. Because Conklin's an all-pro player. So, like, and I know Conklin tore his ACL. We haven't even talked about that because, you know, so much has happened. But Conklin's going to have – I mean, we're going to see how Conklin plays with a new ACL next year. But, like, Conklin's an all-pro caliber player. You know, Henry is – he's had some good moments. He's had some bad moments. I mean, we'd like some more consistency. But, like, Henry is not bad. Johnson has played okay this year. Jonnu Smith, when he's not committing penalties, is okay, although – he does commit a lot of penalties. But it's Davis that really just chaps my behind because I think to myself, like, if you were to go and you were to – when you get the fifth overall pick in a draft, you ought to get a real stud now. Like, if you had drafted Marshawn Lattimore – and we had talked a lot about Marshawn Lattimore. But if you had Marshawn Lattimore on your team and he's an all-pro and he's got, you know, the six picks or whatever he had this year on top of Byard and then you – now, I mean, now that trade looks a lot better. But to the caller's point, I mean, I think I would go Bosa over Ramsey, but I would take Bosa and my second-round pick over the slew of players I have right now.
The thing that's interesting is San Diego or L.A., the Chargers, with the Bosa deal, they got the other receiver. Clemson kid, and he hasn't done anything either.
He wasn't healthy at all. I mean, all the other receivers in the first round were awful. But, again, I mean, you could have – like Juju Smith-Schuster was Cooper Kupp. I mean, there were a lot of rookie receivers who outperformed Davis, including Keelan Cole of the Jags out of Kentucky Wesleyan that has outperformed Corey Davis' rookie season.
That'll frust you.
I think John Robinson looks at this list, and he'll tell you today – like, if you were talking to him, you know, off the record, John Robinson would probably tell you he'd still take this group over, you know, Bosa plus the second rounder if he thinks he can get a coach that can coach these guys up. Davis, Johnson, you know.
If all of those, just the receiving group turns into players, I'm talking about guys that you can win, 12 games with. They'll be fine. They'll be happy. He'll be thrilled with all that.
And that's ultimately why Robiski had to go. And if Mike wasn't going to fire Robiski, then that's why Mike had to go. So it makes sense. But to answer the question,
I still hate it.
I would. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, and I love the trade with the Rams when they made it, so I can't complain. But before they made that trade, I wanted Bosa number one overall. That was the guy.
Well, he went. Remember, he was talked about all offseason as number one guy.
Bosa?
Number one. Then he started sliding. Remember?
Everyone talked about how they hated him.
He slid down like 15 or something. And then, like the night before the draft, skyrocketed again.
It wasn't even the night of the draft. It was everyone thought that the Chargers at 3 were going to draft either Ronnie Stanley or Laremy Tunsil.
Right.
Then the mask video with Tunsil pops up, and it literally was like, the Chargers had pulled we got all you guys, because everyone said they were going to take a tackle, and it was like the first pick went off the board. Everyone knew that was going to be the second pick went off the board, and it was immediately the Chargers select Joey Bosa, and it was like, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
And that was obviously a pretty good call. Predators game day. Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights, and we'll get you ready for that coming up next. It's Predators game day live from Bridgestone Arena. Jared and the GM. On ESPN 102.5 The Game, we send it now to our man Braden Gall at Tootsie's with the Bud Light Honky Tonk hat trick. What's up, Braden? Jared and the GM live out at Bridgestone Arena where the Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's time for Game Day in Smashville. Predators Game Day on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you, Floyd, by our friends at the Nexus Group. So we're excited to have them along on Predators Game Day for the rest of the season. Predators Game Day brought to you by the Nexus Group. They're your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking. Offering secure, reliable connectivity, call the Nexus Group at 615-221-4200 and don't get catfished unless it's on the ice. Preds and Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Vegas coming in at a stellar 29-10-3, good for 61 points. The Predators 25-11-6, good for 56. Vegas has to be the best expansion team in the history of pro sports in America as they come in tonight.
Any sport. It doesn't matter. You know, it's got to be the best.
So we'll get to the injury report in a second because there's some big news. But first, the coach's take as the Predators gear up for the start of the second half of the season. Coach Peter Laviolette.
Well, I mean, it's been good. I think we've been fairly consistent. It's never a perfect thing, but we've been fairly consistent to get to this point in the standings, but we're only halfway there. So, you know, now after coming off the break, we're refreshed from a mental standpoint and hopefully from a physical standpoint, and we look to attack the second half of the season. And, you know, while it's been good, I don't think that we can rest on that or rely on that. We've got to continue to build on what we did in the first half.
And I think Peter's right. I mean, you know, it's funny because the first half of the season is out of the way, and it's important from a point standpoint, but it kind of feels like the preliminaries, you know?
Right.
Like now they've moved on, and now they're to the next step. Meanwhile, the injury report, bad news to report, Victor Arvidsson has gone on the IR. Now, Arvy will be able to return Thursday. So because it's 7 days retroactive to when you last played, Arvy will be able to come back Thursday because of the break. But RV out tonight, had to be helped off the ice yesterday at practice. Did skate this morning, but apparently not good enough to go. Freddie Gaudreau has been recalled from AHL Milwaukee. And UC Soros, as it looks like today from morning skate, the juice will be in net as they open the break against the Vegas Golden Knights. I guess it makes sense because they've got games on Thursday and Saturday, so you kind of have to pick one to give to UC, and I guess they're going to pick tonight. A look at the standings for the Predators as they hit the second half, and they're in second place in the Central Division in the Western Conference, 56 points. They are three behind Winnipeg, although Winnipeg has played four more games. The Preds with four games in hand. Plus, they are 1 point ahead of St. Louis, and St. Louis has played four more games. The Predators, at 42 games, have played the least amount of anybody in the Central Division. By the way, you know who's in last place in the Central Division?
Chicago?
The Chicago Blackhawks, 22-17-6. They are 1 point worse than sucky Colorado. You broke the Blackhawks. I want everybody to know, Predator fans, you broke the Blackhawks. Floyd Reese tonight against Vegas. What are we watching for?
You know, it's a couple of things, really. It's going to be interesting to see how we stack them up with the injuries. We've got a couple guys that are out that hopefully are going to be back very soon. But we're going to, you know, there'll be some changes from that standpoint. And the other thing is to see Saros in goal against this unbelievable expansion club.
Vegas ain't no joke.
They're unbelievable.
I wonder who they're going to put with Johansson. You know, now Forsberg's out, Arvidsson's out. Who you put with Johansson? So Preds pregame coming up next. Preds in Vegas tonight, 7 o'clock, right here, ESPN 102.5. The game once again. Got to give a big shout-out to our friends at the Nexus Group as they are joining our team for Predators game day. Once again, the Nexus Group, they're your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group, 615-221-4200, and don't get catfished unless it's on the ice. Floyd, we'll see you tomorrow at 2.
Yes, sir.
Jared and the GM at ESPN 102.5, the game.